Well, thank God for His Word. And as we come to share with you today on this snowy, icy Sunday, we came to share God's Word that you might know that Jesus is real, that He's a powerful Savior, has blessed us in so many ways. I want to encourage you today from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 37 through 40. Here's what it says when Jesus approached His disciples. Then the righteous shall answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came and ministered to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. From this, I want to leave a thought with you today about real ministry. What is real ministry? There's a lot of talk about ministry, and people calling ministry nowadays anything that can raise money or draw a crowd. But what did Jesus mean when He talked about real ministry? What was the word that He shared with His disciples where Jesus in this passage does something so unusual? He identifies with the need. He identifies with those who are going through struggles and those who are going through these crises. Jesus said, in the personal sense, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I was naked, I was in prison, I was sick. He is identifying Himself with that need, and He refers to Himself as needing us to come and minister to Him. Interestingly, the church does not generally associate the person with the need with the person of Christ. We often think that that person, well, they need something, and I'll do what I can when I can. But that's not the way that Jesus looks at ministry. And I want to say to you, we need to place a priority on conducting real ministry. Can we call it anything that we do in the church? Or is the Lord saying to us, pay attention. Pay attention to the opportunities that present themselves. And ladies and gentlemen, this COVID-19, this virus, has given us an opportunity to engage in real ministry so that we can help one another. Now, why can't we see Jesus? Why can't we see Jesus in the need? I think there are a couple of things that we need to pay attention to, and I want to bring you into that as Jesus was talking about that, and then we'll share a couple of things going out from this that you can take with you so that you would make sure you are involved in real ministry. What should the body of Christ be doing right now? How should we be responding to the world around us? And why can't we see the real need for Jesus and ministry? So let's talk about that. Let's break it down. Let's start with, first of all, what we see and why we can't see the real need. First of all, is our attitude towards people that have the need. I've heard the phrase used so many times, well, we need to pray for those that are less fortunate. Well, that includes all of us. All of us are less fortunate. When you look at what God calls His kingdom work, every one of us would have a need. We can't say that there are people less fortunate, because then what it does, it places us above that person. And Jesus said, now, if you're going to really serve with me in mind, I'm not beneath you. We've got to look at it as serving our Lord and our Savior as we think about this thing called real ministry. I've even used the phrase myself when I said, well, but by the grace of God, there go I. Not realizing that that's a condescending attitude that people have. Does that mean that since I have this or I can go here, that means I'm more fortunate? And when we look at the grace of God, all of us need God in our lives. And I made a note here that basically says the fact that someone lacks something, or we have the abundance of something, or we're in a situation that others may not be in, it has nothing to do with the worth of the soul. You've got to look at the worth of the soul in order for us to be a blessing and to see people in need, and more importantly, to see Jesus, to see Christ in that person that has the need. So don't have the attitude, I'm blessed, you're not, when you're trying to reach out to people with real needs. I believe the second thing that we run into is that more times than not, we have a need ourselves, or we need to be rescued. And so that becomes the focus of our prayer life. That becomes the focus of our action. We're more concerned about what I need. So we inherently, we can't see the needs of others because we're looking at the need of ourselves. It's kind of like when we are in a repeat cycle, always needing God to get us out of trouble, always needing something to happen in our life, always needing a breakthrough, needing this, needing that. We cannot give ourselves to the service of God if we're looking at our needs and that's the only thing that we pray about. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you don't have needs and that you don't need to call on God, but Jesus was saying in this verse, inasmuch as you've done it to my brethren, you've done it unto me. So there's a time, there's an opportunity where now we need to not focus on ourselves, but on someone else. Do you remember the movie called Groundhog Day? Bill Murray started in that movie. And in that movie, he kept repeating the same day over and over again. The alarm clock would ring, and it was Groundhog Day all over again. And at first, he thought it was fun. It's a neat thing to do. But when he realized that he was stuck in that cycle, that's when he realized, okay, maybe I need to look at this differently. We need to look at our service to God differently, not what I can get from God. I know I'm going to get blessed from God. I know that he's going to do things in my life. But what can I do for God and for others? What can I do in his name? How can I go about being a blessing and not just getting a blessing? Our attitude has to change. We have to get out of the attitude of where I need to be rescued. We have to get out of the attitude where others are less fortunate and we are blessed. But there's another thing that we need to look at in this process. We need to stop feeling like we've got to do it all. And I call that the superhero Christian, or what we might call the solo Christian. Superhero and the super Christian model is not a model for ministry. Let me repeat that again. The superhero, or person who feels like, well, I've got to do it and I've got to play Lone Ranger, has no place in the body of Christ. What we do, we have to conduct ministry together. In other words, I need you as much as you need me. So one day it might be you with the need, another day it might be me or someone else, and here we are as the body of Christ working hand in hand, trying to reach out and do those things that Jesus is pleased with. Notice he says in verse 37, the righteous shall answer him and saying, Lord, when did we see you? Not I. Not I. We have to make sure that we're not trying to do things on our own or in our own power and ability. The righteous will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you sick or in prison? And he goes through that list. We, not I. The church is all about people gathered together in Jesus' name and also conducting service for the Master. Now let's pause for a minute. Why are we talking about this in such a time as this? Why are we talking about going out and conducting real ministry? Well, I believe that our time is now. We want God to send a great revival in the church, but this revival cannot be about let's all get good feelings and let's all celebrate the goodness of God. We should be doing that anyway. But when it comes to real change that needs to happen and real service that needs to be given, that's where revival becomes something practical, something real, and something genuine that every one of us can do. We don't need another crowd gathered together and holding up their hands. Now, listen, I have nothing against worship. As a matter of fact, I believe in worshiping God with all your strength. I'm like David. Give me an opportunity and I'll give you a dance. But you can't dance your way through the service of God and think that that's going to do it. You can't hallelujah all the time and not reach out a hand to someone else who are in need. Real ministry is involved in helping Jesus. And that's why he put himself in the place, I'm the one you're helping. I'm the one behind that sick person. I'm the one behind that hungry person. I'm the one that's behind that person in prison. Jesus said, I'm the one. And when you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you're doing it for me. You're conducting it on my behalf. So why can't we see the real need? Well, let me get to something that's going to be a little bit painful, but yet something that needs to be said. I believe that we can't see the real needs because we are about the business of putting our personal labels on things and calling it ministry. In other words, because I like golf, I'm going to make it a golf ministry. No, wait a minute. Hold time out. You can't make something a ministry just because you like it, or bowling ministry, or swimming ministry. You can't do that, or fashion ministry. You can't do that because Jesus said, number one, ministry is about meeting needs of people, not the things that I like. Now, there's nothing wrong with you doing those things, but don't call it ministry if the word doesn't call it ministry. You're off on a tangent. Now, here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. Those of you that say, well, I got a music ministry, enjoy your music. Don't call it ministry, but help people through your songs. Encourage them. Give them some hope. Let them know that Jesus is Lord. Then what you're doing in service of meeting the needs, you're using that to help people. And not saying, well, what if I get up and sing a song, that's my No. The ministry is all about helping people, which brings us to this point in it. All right, we go about and we label stuff and we call it ministry. I grew up on the farm, and on the farm we had recycling long before it was talked about. We would take bags that you got flour in, and you got it from the mill, and rather than throw the bag away, my mother and my grandmother would make sheets out of it, and you had pillowcases that you would make from those old bags. Yes, you made it because you wanted to process things. You wanted to recycle them, all right? And so you would change the use of it, all right, if you would. There would be coffee cans. Rather than throwing the can away, my grandmother would save grease in it. And anytime she'd make bacon or ham, she would pour the grease in it and use that later. And can you imagine trying to say that that coffee can still had coffee in it? It didn't. And for that reason, you can't just take something, repurpose it, and call it ministry. It has to match what God says in His Word. Because you need God's power, and I'll get to that in a minute. You need God's power in order to conduct God's ministry. It's not something you can do on your own, but we'll get to that in just a minute. And then there's the next thing that we have in the church. The reason why we can't see real needs is because we're preoccupied with ceremony. We got a lot of stuff that we do in the church. Now, I'm not saying there's things wrong with it, but you can't call it ministry. Why? Because it's not meeting a need. It might be doing something to help us better relate to things that we do in the church. It might help to provide order. But unless it feeds the hungry, unless it clothes the naked, unless it's reaching out to help people who are homeless, you can't call it ministry. It's church stuff, okay? Yeah, it's just church stuff. Now, it may need to be done. It should have its proper place. But never say you're doing ministry if you're not doing what the Lord has said. Now, I know we got some people that's upset with me. Don't write me letters. Don't do any of that. Just simply say, amen, preacher, because it's in the Word. And this challenges me. This challenges me. I've been sometimes preoccupied with things in the church that I've forgotten about the mission outside the church. And I also realize that unless you have a mission outside the church, you're not going to have much going on in the church except the same few folks doing the same things and getting the same results. Jesus is inviting us. He's saying, come to me. And he's not inside here. He wants you to come in here and worship. Yeah, don't get me wrong with that. He wants you to worship. And one thing this pandemic has taught us during this thing, we can't go to our churches anymore. We can't get on the inside and celebrate. But what you can do, your neighbor might be hungry. The folks down the street might have run out of food. They may not have clothes to wear. Jesus said, now, if you want to join me, if you want to throw up your hands of service and say, Lord, give me something and I'll take to those people who are in need. We're living in a critical time where the church now needs to re-identify itself. We need to step up. And we've got the tools to work with. We've got everything at our disposal that we can work with. But we've got to turn to God and say, Lord, lead us and direct us. Notice in this verse, there's the element of surprise. The disciples didn't realize that they were doing this for Jesus. They said, Lord, we don't remember you being hungry or being naked. We don't remember you having these needs. And then Jesus responds, in as much as you've done it for these, not folks in need, my brethren, my relatives, my kinfolk. Jesus said, if you've done it for them, then you better believe you've done it for me. Isn't that something? We satisfy the heart of God when we conduct real ministry. So let's break this down. Let's kind of look at where we've lost connection. It's quite okay for us to say we're doing things, but let's make sure that we're looking around, scoping things out, and saying, Lord, show me where I can be useful for your kingdom. Not only will you have a happy life, you're going to have a very productive life in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen out there? And for all of those of you that are joining us online and WLLL Radio, we want you to be encouraged, because now we look at opportunities not for us just to dress up and say, we're going to do this. We have opportunities to roll up our sleeve and say, Lord, use me for thy service. My Aunt Ethel used to sing a song, use me, Lord. Use me for your glory. Use me, Lord. Help me to tell love's story. Let thy will obey. I'll go all the way. Use me, Lord. Use me. So how is it that we want God to use us? First of all, if we're going to see Jesus, we must focus on the Savior. Jesus said, if you've done it for the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So how can I focus on the Savior? Well, I believe one way, take the focus off yourself. Don't look for people to give you accolades when you do things for the Lord's glory. Don't look for recognition. Don't even look to be noticed. Sometimes the very people you serve may not say thank you. But guess what? Up in heaven, Jesus is writing it down. You did it for me. You did it not only for me, but you did it to me. I was the one that had the need, and you came and you ministered to me. You helped me when I was in prison. Ladies and gentlemen, we must change our focus if we're really going to focus on Jesus. But not only that, we've got to focus on service, not only on the Savior and doing it for him and to him, but now we've got to focus on the Savior himself. Then the King shall answer and say to you, inasmuch as you've done it for the least of these, my brethren. Notice the word done it. We've completed it. Don't just say you're going to do it and then not go. As Nike says in its commercial, just do it. Just do it. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. No. Do it when the opportunity presents itself. Procrastination is the enemy of progress. Putting it off. You're saying, well, I don't care about it right now. Do you care about Jesus? And you notice when you think about Jesus, you're going to do it a little bit better. You're going to give a little bit more because you're doing it to Jesus. Now, Colossians, in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul uses these words. He said, whatever you do in word or deed, and we will call that deed service, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Do everything. Whether it's sweeping a floor or cleaning someone's sidewalk off or helping them across the street or bringing someone's groceries in, do everything in the name of Jesus. If you've got a senior that's living next door in your neighborhood, make it your point to go over and maybe rake their leaves. Don't leave a sign on the yard or a note that said, hey, I rake your leaves. They're going to notice it happening. They're going to notice what needs to be done. And ladies and gentlemen, we can transform our world by doing everything in the name of Jesus. If we had the community of faith, the body of Christ, if we had the body of Christ that was going out into the world and doing deeds, wow, what an impact we would have on one another. Helping each other, reaching out. Now we're living in a world of hatred, and I've adopted a motto for this year. I'm more grateful than hateful. I want to show gratitude, and it is transforming my life, because when I show gratitude, I'm not mad at folk. I don't want to get back at them. They may do things to me, but guess what? What's working on the inside is that gratefulness, and a grateful attitude is needed when you serve God. Paul says, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father. That's gratitude. Giving thanks to the Father by him. Then the last thing that we look at, not only looking at it as doing it to the Savior, not only look at it as being giving your service, but also look at it as receiving the power of God. Now, you say you've got Christ in you, right? You say that the Lord is living in your heart and life. And you know what I say? Prove it. Prove it. I didn't ask you to say anything. I didn't ask you to sing a song. Prove it through your service. In this great command, in this great area of what Jesus is now saying to the body of Christ, I want you to demonstrate how much you love me. Not by a testimony, not by standing up before a crowd of people. I want you to demonstrate how much you love me by reaching out a helping hand to these, my brethren. You remember when Jesus challenged Peter? He said, Peter, do you love me? Oh, yeah, Lord, you know I love you like a brother. And he asked him again, he said, well, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Oh, yeah, I love you like a brother. But Jesus was actually saying, do you love me with that unconditional love? More than just as a brother. What if I was sick? What if I was hungry? What if I was in prison? Would you still love me? Jesus is there in the needs of people. And either you're going to respond to those needs or you'll just talk about it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, put your walk where your talk is. Put it into action and watch what happens in your life. You and I both know that we can do nothing without the power of God. When you go to meet that need in the other person's life, you're talking about an anointing. You're talking about an outpouring of God's power. He's going to pour his power in you, and then you'll have all of heaven's resources available to you as you go and you share with that person in need. He gave us a list of things here. He gave us a list of things. Listen to what he said. He said, I was hungry. What can you do about the hunger situation? I can feed somebody. I can help somebody. Or thirsty. I can bring someone a cold drink of water. Or the stranger. There was a stranger and it took him in. Or you're naked and you gave them clothes. What a wonderful thing it would be, the clothes that you're no longer wearing, if you would send them to the cleaners wash them, get them ready, fold them up nicely, and just take them, not just to Goodwill, but take them to a neighbor or a person that you know just got burned out, or maybe they need some help. What would happen if we became the active body of Christ and doing real ministry? Now, here's what you're going to discover. As you go out there, you're going to discover that the needs are greater than you. It's greater than your ability to meet them. Now, before you throw up your hands, before you throw up your hands and say, I can't do this, you need to say what it says in Philippians 4 and verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. The hungry, I can do this. The homeless, I can do this. The prisoner, I can help them. Why? Because I can do it not in my own power, but in the power of Christ. No one sends a worker out without making sure that they have the backup and the support that they need. And what God is able to do, he's able to bring the riches of glory in Christ Jesus into that situation. I've worked in companies that have sent me on assignments and sent me to perform certain duties and tasks in other towns or in other places, and those companies have never sent me out empty-handed. They would tell me, as long as you're doing our work, we're going to pay all your expenses. And they did. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is sending you and me into this crazy world that we're living in, and you better believe that he's going to back us up. He's going to provide everything that we need. As a matter of fact, if you need a lawyer, I know the best lawyer that you can ever have. His name is Jesus Christ. Do you not realize that he settled the case involving sin versus the people of God? And Jesus Christ paid the price because he's our lawyer and our advocate. And not only that, he settled the case between the devil and, amen, our authority over the devil. Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus. Not only is he our lawyer, but he's also a king. And as a king, he'll supply us with the resources that we need in order to do his work. The gold is his. The cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver is his. You are his. I'm his. We belong to him. And you know what? He's not just a king. He's the king of kings. So if there are kings on the earth that's got his stuff that we need, he will provide it from them in order for us to do the will of Almighty God. It all belongs to Christ. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, according to Psalms 24 and verse 1. Oh, but I got to tell you this. If you get weak along the way, if you feel that you can't make it, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the perfect doctor. He's able to come to you and to share with you, to keep you encouraged and to make you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. We got good doctors that can fix things, amen, in our bodies, but now we've got a doctor of the soul. This doctor Jesus, amen, will come to your rescue. This doctor Jesus will minister to your need. He'll pick you up when you're down. He will cause you to know that you can do things if you just depend on his grace and his mercy. And here's the good part about it. Amen. The services are free of charge. You don't have to have any insurance. No insurance required and no appointment is needed. You don't have to pay any copay because Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Praise God, you can do real ministry if you know the Lord and that he's sending you. If you get tired while serving in ministry, he says, come to me and rest. If you get lonely while serving in ministry, he says, I'm always with you. If you get confused, weak, or weary, he says, I'll supply all your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's our present help in the time of trouble. He is Christ the Lord. So what about it? What about it? Can I challenge you this week and going forward that you will get involved in real ministry? Stop saying that that's for a few folk. It is for you if you belong to Christ. Remember, they will come and they will ask him, Lord, when do we see you this way? When do we see you in this condition? And Jesus will say, in as much as you have done it for the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. I want to join Christ. What about you? So let's roll up our sleeves. Amen. And let's serve God. Father, I thank you for your mercy and love today. And Lord, I pray for those that are in the listening audience, whether they be online or through the radio means, we pray that you would reach them in their heart, touch them in their soul, and let them know that you are God. Bless them, Lord, so that they can be a blessing to others. I pray in the precious name of Jesus and for his glory. Hallelujah and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.